Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Hello, good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio here on WGN 720 AM, and I'm joined by Tyrone Phillips. Hi, Tyrone.
How you doing?
I'm well. Let's just say that Tyrone is an artist, and I think that that's a good word for you because you do so many things and do them well.
You
are a writer, an actor, a director, a producer. I mean, you do everything.
I do a lot.
An artistic director. So why don't you? I like to ask my guests to describe what they do in our fair city.
Great. I'm an actor and director. That's my main two things, and the artistic director of Definition Theater Company. That's a company I started with some other graduates from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and we are 4 years old.
Wow. So you've been around a lot of theater companies don't last 1 year.
I know.
You guys are young. How old are you?
Yeah,
guys?
Everyone in the company is under the age of 30.
Wow.
It's the millennial generation running our company right now. And so, I mean, we're trying to bridge the gap between film and theater as well. And we want to be a theater for the next generation.
That's so amazing. So why don't you tell me, we're going to talk about that. You guys have a show running at Steppenwolf, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that and how people can see it and how they need to get tickets right away because it's going to sell out. There's about, we said like 10 shows left, something like that. But why don't you start and talk about first where you're from, because you're from around here.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. I grew up in Rogers Park, and then I moved to Skokie for high school. I was on the football team. I'm gonna say for like a week. I was on the football team. We were doing drills.
And
it was okay. So actually, it was in August. And we were doing drills, and I was just tired. They wanted us to drink water from the hose. And I was like, I'm gonna go inside. Forget y'all. I'm a human being. And so
from a hose. Yeah. That's
I was like, I'm out here. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
My birthday was coming up, and so I knew that we'd be in rehearsal. See, look, practice. We'd be in practice
on your birthday.
Mentality. Yeah. On my birthday, like all of it was not working out. So I walked into the theater, to the high school, to get some water, and I ended up in the black box. And the black box is basically a performance venue, all black, everything. You can change the audience configuration to be in the round or on one side. You can do whatever you want. And it was just blank that time I went in there in the summer because nothing was going on. And I remember just thinking to myself, I don't know what happens here, but whatever it is, I want to be a part of it.
Man, and I just got chills.
That's my story. I'm serious. Like,
that's really how it happened.
And so I signed up for acting classes, and about my sophomore year in high school.
So basically, no more football for you.
That was
you were
gone.
Like,
that was gone. Yeah, I didn't even get. I think I said my name and my jersey number. That was about it. That's as far as I got. And I didn't even see the jersey. So yeah,
right.
It was abrupt.
So you just started taking. Did you take classes at school or other places?
At school, only at school. At Niles North. I went to high school. I was North High School, and I took classes, but I didn't even audition though for the shows for some reason.
You just took classes, but
I just took classes.
Why?
I don't know. So crazy. I don't know. And I remember one day when they were putting up the audition post, and I asked my teacher. I said, "Can I audition for this?" And he was like, "Are you kidding me? Of course."
And
at that
time,
I was, you know, again, a minority in the department as well.
Right.
And so he was elated and couldn't wait. And I was like, "Of course, audition." And I remember, though, looking back, I'm like, I was just waiting for the invitation. Sometimes
isn't that interesting?
Do that, you know?
Sometimes we wait, even though. And I think for me, so it comes from being a Latina, a woman.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wait for permission.
Exactly.
Instead of just being like, "I'm going to do this."
Right.
So for whatever reason, you waited. And do you remember your first show?
Heck yeah. It was The Children's Hour by Lillian Hellman.
That's a great show.
I was the grocery boy. Right. It's the majority of women in that cast.
Yes.
And so there actually was, you know, ruffled some feathers because I was a sophomore. And so there's only two guy parts. And so
you got it.
Who got upset.
Yep.
I mean, that's part of the deal. That's part of what theater does.
Yeah. If you're good and you are committed, you get the role.
Yeah. And so I will never forget that first role.
Wow.
And I remember hearing my friends in the auditorium, like, you know, Tyrone's on stage. Like, hearing that for the first time, like, having that feeling as an actor.
Yeah.
And I never stopped. But it wasn't until later on that I knew I wanted to do it for the rest of my life.
So you did acting in high school, but you weren't for sure like, I'm going to be an actor.
Right.
So when you went to go to pick a college, did you go with, because they have a great theater department at U of I. You said you went to U of I.
Yeah.
Did you know you were going to study theater?
I did. Oh. I did. Once I saw that acting was a choice on the ACTs as like a job, a career opportunity, I was like, what? I was like, for sure. That's what I love to do. I can do that in real life, you're saying. And my, you know, the hardest part is telling your parents. I'm a single parent home, actually. So telling my mom, I'm trying to figure out like the right way to deliver that.
I started
talking to her and I said, I think I want to do this. But she cut me off. She said, I already knew. She's been watching me in the plays, so she already knew.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, going to cry.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'll be crying a lot this month. Yeah. A lot, actually.
I mean, I just really feel like that's beautiful.
It is.
That she's so supportive. She is.
So supportive. And, I mean, for her, she's made so many sacrifices for me. I can go on for days. Yeah. I can go on for days.
Yeah. My mom, too.
Yeah. That's real life.
So you were telling us about your mom and this, you know, she made a tremendous amount of sacrifices for you. And I think it's amazing that she knew, before you even told her that you wanted to be an actor.
It was incredible.
And U of I, you knew you could do that there.
Yeah, I went down there actually. So one of the shows that like were very changing for me about my worldview. And when I realized that theater could change people's minds and kind of that, it was Falsetto Land, a musical that changed my whole
It
just blew my mind. It just blew my mind. I was a character who I did not expect to be cast as at all. A homosexual Jewish man. Like, it's the furthest thing away from me at the time.
U of I?
This is in high school.
They really went there in high school.
I owe it to him as well. He taught me everything I knew. But he always pushed the bounds. And so my mind has already been trained in that way because of my teacher, Tim Ortman. Like that. Is something that's important.
Is he still teaching?
And he is still teaching there.
What's his name?
Timothy Ortman.
Hats off to you.
I'm telling you.
That's fantastic. So, yeah. A lot of kids don't have anything close to that.
I know.
So you knew that changed your mind, and blew your mind? Did you have this idea then that that's the kind of theater I want to make?
Exactly. Okay. I want that feeling. I wanted that feeling for sure. And watching the audience every night come out of that room in tears because they put themselves in somebody else's shoes. That's the magic of theater. So we took that show to Theater Fest, and they alternate between U of I and ISU.
That's
So that year, it was at ISU, actually. But then I went to Theater Fest, and I saw U of I's facilities, and I fell in love with Kranert Center.
Really?
And I was like, I want to go here. This is where I want to be. It's a Big Ten school, but then the training is a small conservatory
style. It's a fantastic school in all ways.
And it's the only place I applied to. Yeah. Crazily. Because if I didn't get in, I was like, we were talking earlier, like, I believe things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
It was so crazy that I applied to one college, one school for this, and that was it.
There's something, we talked off air a little bit, and there's something about your story in terms of things happening for a reason and things falling into place.
Yeah.
So why don't you, when you were at U of I, you met this group of people, right?
Yeah.
And did you guys, and it be many of them became part of Definition Theater Company, or some of them.
Yes.
And did you know immediately you loved these people, or did you just connect, or how did it work at U of I?
You don't know sometimes. I mean, in the beginning it was, you know, everyone just learning who each other is, and you become, I guess we found this close bond from being in class together. We take a lot of risks at that school, and again, it's like a conservatory training, so you're always on, you're always learning, you're always watching somebody go. So we became very close very fast. And then, I mean, now to fast forward, yeah, that's my family. That's blood, like chosen family for real. And there's a group of us where we will always be there for each other, whether you're in the company or not. That's just the bond that we've created down there. And that's what college is for. You know, some people ask me sometimes, actors, like, do I go to college for it, or do I just go do it right away? And for me, getting that question asked, I'm like, it's kind of strange because I got everything from that thing and nothing at all at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I got these people who I created this company with.
Yeah.
That's all I have right now.
Right.
That's what I'm so proud of. And so it's a mix. A school isn't for everybody. So
no, it's not. I feel the same way. Like, I went to a conservatory and I wish that I had had more knowledge of the world and more history and more English. However, I did learn a lot about people, a lot about how the world works, a lot about camaraderie, a lot about support.
Right.
So I feel like when young actors come to me and say, should I go to school for it? I say, that's between you, your parents, and your maker.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that get some kind of schooling is important.
Yes.
And whether it's acting or not, get an education, or whether you just want to take classes somewhere, but definitely take, you know, do something.
It makes it in depth to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So we'll be back. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Tyrone Phillips. He's amazing and I love talking to him.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D here in WGN 720 AM, and I am here with the amazing Tyrone Phillips. Hi again.
Hello, hello.
I'm so happy to have you. If you're just joining us, you should have been here earlier. No, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Tyrone Phillips, who is the founding artistic director of Definition Theater Company. Look them up online. They do amazing work. He's also an actor and directing a lot right now. I mean,
yes. That
has been, do you feel like you're in? We'll get back to the U of I stuff, but I guess my first question is, would you say primarily right now you're a director?
This is great. This is a great question because this is something that gets under my skin. I love it because people, it's trouble. It's tricky to say, are you an actor? Are you a director for me? I'm both, and I think equally so. And it took me to this year to be able to say that I wanted to direct and that not feel shame about it. So talking about school again, when you leave school, like I'm trained as an actor. And so everyone, you know, you go out, you audition, you do everything you can to be an actor. And if in the first couple of years you do something different, there's a stigma about that sometimes in the community that you've given up or that it's not working out.
Ooh.
And so for me, it was just for some reason I was again listening, worried about other people early on. And
of course.
And after I learned, like, I want to act. I'm passionate about directing as well, and I don't have to apologize for that, is when literally everything opened up. By Helium Mississippi is the second show I've directed professionally.
Yeah.
And it's now...
It's huge.
it's blown up.
Since you brought it up, we'll touch on it now because it's... So tell us about this show. It's funny because I've never been to... It's by Helia, right?
By Helia. Mississippi.
By Helia.
Yeah,
okay.
By Helia.
And why don't you tell us, it's right now at the Steppenwolf 1700 space, and you can go to steppenwolf.org to get tickets. I'm sure there's also links on Facebook pages, which we'll put up and I will talk about later. But why don't you tell us about this show? Because this is a special show. It's getting a lot of press. It's a transferred show. So it originally was took place at the beginning of the year at the Den Theater where I saw it. It's stunning.
Thank you.
It is so well directed. And so well written and so well acted, and a beautiful story, and a story about race, but not just about race. Mm-hmm. A story about couples and about relationships, but not just about that. And you directed it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me how this process happened?
Yeah.
With this
so
play?
Evan Lindner, who is the playwright, he's also plays Jim in the role, and he's the co-artistic director of The New Colony. This is his baby. This is his child. And at first, he told me he was writing his Red State play about marriage.
Wow.
And that comes through big time. And as time went on, these other issues became pressing to him. And he was writing when all these shootings were going on in America. And so that, of course, was just on his mind. It was the polar vortex as well. So he's writing this thing about Trayvon Martin's trials is going on. And so, the story, not to give it away, but it's about this couple who is married. They've both cheated on each other at some point, but when the woman does it, she gets pregnant, and this child comes, and it's not hers. It's not Jim's. It's not their child, but it's a mixed race child.
Right.
And we find out how they're gonna move on or not. Are they gonna stay together, or what they're gonna do? And why I love this play so much is because I mean that child is the focus of the story for me. I went into the first rehearsal. I told him, I'm not worried about your acting. Y'all all are great. You're all incredible. It's why you're here. It's why you have the job. But I'm worried about that child. I'm here to make sure the audience is always thinking about that baby the entire time. So that's how I went into it, because that's who I connected with in the show, is Bobby. It's the child that they have. It's I don't know everything he's going to go through, but I know some of the black man's world. And so, I mean, that spoke to me big time. And at the end of the play, we find Jim, the father, struggling and trying to figure out how is he going to see this child as his own. And I feel like if our cops, if our, you know, not to get too crazy, but I can't do theater that is just with a nice bow on
it
and, you know, safe and just a happy time for happy time, because the world we're living in right now.
I mean, I think, and it's interesting because I came on, the last time I was on air was the night of the Dallas police shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a challenging thing to talk about, because there is no simple answer for these
things.
And our world is not simple, and our world is changing, and there are things that are that we have huge problems, and there is also beautiful things. But I think you're right. I think to ignore the fact that we're living in a time where a lot of stuff is happening is a mistake. Yeah. And this play definitely does not shy away from talking about these things, which is why I think it's so important.
At all.
So,
yeah.
So when so that became your focus was the relationship Bobby. With Bobby, the child. Now, my question for you is, how did you learn how to direct?
No, it's a good question. Yeah, it is learned. And it's funny because I'm going back to something about the directing as well. I'm going back to my alma mater to direct in the fall.
Right.
I'm directing the first show ever, which is crazy. and I'm thrilled to be back in that sense. But that's where I learned. I watched Tim Waterman, my high school director, the entire time. And even as an actor, one of my biggest problems is that I'll direct myself as an actor. So it's all connected. It's all connected.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny because some of my professors, they're like, yeah, when did you want to direct? We didn't know. And I'm like, well, I've been watching you. I'm in school. I'm not just here as an actor. I'm watching how everything is run here. That's part of like getting your education, extra getting your education. I feel like students sometimes we get locked in and we're in our own bubble and trying to focus on what do I want to do for my whole life, what I want to do. I try to pay attention to the whole room, and that's how literally that kind of started to seep in. I said I'd like this, and I know I'd be good at it. And I think the best actors are. The best directors are actors first, actually, because you know how to talk to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how that started.
So what was the first ever thing you directed?
Oh, that would be, I think it's a staged reading at U of I. It was a piece that all of my friends, most of them, we had a young theater company while we were in school, actually, called The Lost Toys. And we were basically trying to keep the imagination, let's keep that going as you grow up as an adult. Make sure you remember your imagination. Like, that's, that was the mission.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did a lot of workshops and smaller things. And so we all wrote a play called Chorus Place, which is, again, another like old school diner, and then this white kid comes in who's having problems, and then he creates a new family with these black people. How does that happen? And so that was the first time I ever directed anything, and it was again a stage reading, how Definition does it now with lights and sound and props and kind of fully realized stage reading. And that was the first thing. And then after that,
how did it feel?
Incredible. I always had, again, the passion for it. So finally getting the opportunity was awesome. But then to do a full production, I mean, I started directing for my high school once I graduated as well. And that was really where it was like feet to the fire. Here is, you have, not only do you have a play to get done, here is amazing, the stage there, the black box there is state of the art. So when I said that story earlier about walking in and being like, what's happening here? There's some Chicago theaters that still can't even compete with that space.
Yeah.
And so I've had opportunities and designers that I worked with that they used to design the shows I was in, and now they're my colleagues, all of that. And so having them under my wings, that was amazing. And so I learned how to direct really at Niles North.
Wow.
For sure.
Niles North.
Yeah,
I mean, rarely do you hear that someone's, usually it's like later in life or something like that, but your high school experience sounds like it was pretty amazing for you.
Yeah, and leaving and coming back.
You're going to be back there.
Being able to do that. It's insane.
Have you started rehearsals there?
The next show I'm directing is Our Town, actually. So no, we haven't started. That's in the fall. Later on, back from U of I.
Okay.
I'm doing the juggling act of acting and directing.
So how do you do it? How is it?
It's all about scheduling.
Okay. So you've got a lot going on. So if there are people sort of aspiring to do many things, you say scheduling
is huge.
How else do you keep balanced in your life?
You know, saying yes to the projects that I know I need to.
Mm-hmm.
There was a season where I literally was like a season of no. Like, don't say, because, you get emails, you get people, sometimes you'll stretch yourself thin trying to
help everybody
and all of that. And so I had to find projects that were speaking to me, that were passionate about, I was passionate about. And if there wasn't a reason for me to do it, don't do it. Because somebody else needs to. That's somebody else's opportunity. You know what I mean? So that, I could just try to stay true to what I want to do as an artist. And that was the only guiding force.
Wow. Thank you so much. We're going to come back with you because we're not done.
Cool.
We're not done. We're going to take a break. I'm here. I'm filling in for Nick D. This is Jen B on WGN 720 AM. Good morning, everybody. This is Jen B. We're back. I'm here with Tyrone Phillips, who is an amazing person.
I'm going to stick around. He called me three times. He did.
I
like this way.
When I like something, I'm like, it's amazing.
I'm sticking around.
You could stick around for a long time. If you're just joining us, this is Jen B, not Nick D. I'm filling in for him. He is taking some time. I'll be here actually this morning and tomorrow morning. And Sean will be here too, my lovely producer. But right now we're talking to Tyrone. And Tyrone, we were talking before the break a little bit about how one can balance time, because you're a director and an actor and also you're a teacher, because you're going to be working with high school kids and college kids, right? So you're a teacher as well. But I the other thing I wanted to ask, going back to the play at Steppenwolf, what's it like to have such a hit play?
Man.
What is it? How does that feel? Is it weird? Is it fun? Is it all good? Is it overwhelming?
I will say, I feel like it's deserved. And when I say that because my first day of rehearsal, I asked the design team, my actors, everybody, I said, give me what you got. I asked them to give me everything they have, and they the play's themes are about love, about, like, everyone knew that this play was relevant and that it meant something to do the show. So they just said yes to that, I believe, to that call. Every first rehearsal, I'm giving it away, I have a cast, I hope they don't listen to this, but every first rehearsal I ask people in the room, what was your first experience in theater? And then why do you still do it?
I would like to be in your show.
Yo, come on. Come on. We can do it.
Okay.
We can do it. We can create a show.
We're
going to
get Chance the Rapper.
Yes, let's go.
And Sean.
Let's go.
And I are going to be in a play.
Let's go.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Say to them, what's your first theater experience and what else?
And why do you still do it?
Oh,
I think those
gosh.
Are the two things that you have to remember, again, about trying to just keep it real. Trying to keep it emotionally true and just actually do what theater is supposed to do. And it's funny because you go around the room, people, I do theater because theater chose me. You get the answers that are like, oh, yeah, the campy answers. And usually it takes a second time around that circle until people can start to get real.
Yeah.
And Evan made fun of me in another interview. He was like, yeah, it's like a therapy session for real.
Well,
though.
Here's the thing that I'm hearing. And I was a therapist for 5 years. And so I know that theater and therapy or psychological stuff is very intertwined.
Yeah.
And I feel like if and you can chime in here, but I feel like as a director, I having a director that knows how to talk to people to get them to be real is a skill in itself.
I agree.
And have people not be afraid. Because I feel like a lot of times in the arts, when there's someone who's the director, people think, oh, they know more than me and I'm scared to be here and I have to do this good job, versus just sort of getting people to be real.
Yeah, because again, you got the job for a reason. You cast people, you go through this process. Casting is usually pretty extraneous, and you go through callbacks and all of that. But again, as I told them, I'm not worried about your acting. Like, that, you can do that. You got a degree doing it. And I mean, I was blessed to have a room full of just amazingly talented actors.
They're very
talented. And they're such an ensemble. And there was no, I'm again, you know, I'm young for my age for doing this. And I'm directing some people. I mean, Cecilia, the mom, she's a well-known Memphis director. Like, she's the real deal. Yeah. And Evan is a director as well. Liz Sharp, my lead, is a director.
Yeah.
All of them, they come to the table with experience and talent. And so they all trusted me and
I
gave
think
me
that's
that
so
trust.
Important,
and that was,
right?
that was my freedom. So I could be myself in that room. I could play the music I want to hear on break and jam and be myself while I'm creating this art. And that's important for everybody.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Tell us about the jump from doing it at the Den, and how did it end up at Steppenwolf?
So we were doing it. We were selling out. And
I mean, it was packed when I was there. It was
selling
crazy.
Out. It was amazing. And so we had just great audience at previews, and then the word of mouth and the story, again, it spoke for itself. The biggest compliment I had is someone told me, oh my God, I saw your heart on stage and I'm not even acting. So that was weird for me to hear as a directing, that someone says, oh, I saw you through the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, Anna Shapiro came, who's artistic director now of Steppenwolf. And I mean, it was kind of that easy. She came, she saw the show, and afterwards we talked to her and she said she was blown away. She said, this reminds me of the young Steppenwolf days. This is us. This is what we
did.
Out of her mouth. Yeah. In the lobby. And so again, we're trying to just take all of this and try to take it in and actually hear her and not, you know. So she came and she said, no, I, you know, we want to sit down and I want to talk to you guys. And And that kind of is how it unfolded.
That's how
we started
it went
having
down.
More meetings. I mean, there was many more opportunities. Theater on the Lake also wanted us to do it, but we basically decided to wait and
come
out the show at Steppenwolf and open their new space.
Yes.
Space.
So if you guys haven't, I have just walked by it.
It's
I haven't
so
been
great.
There. But
front bar is also
yes.
Our lobby is a bar.
Yeah. So Steppenwolf awesome. Has opened something called I think Theater 1700,
yes.
which is adjacent mm-hmm. right to mm-hmm. to Steppenwolf, and it's a bar, and it's what does the space look like inside that you
yeah,
guys
it's
are?
A, it's basically a small black box, a cabaret style feel, and we're the, like the first full production yeah. in there, and so we have a proscenium seating, but it's flexible as well, so they can figure out what they want to
they
do,
can
you
move
know,
it.
And then change it. But it basically it's going to be for music, for poetry, for plays. It's awesome. I'm really excited about the potential of that space.
Yeah, and I think that right, it sort of it offers artists who maybe are. You know, Steppenwolf has its season, it has its, but maybe some more up and coming, or
yeah,
you guys
definitely.
Are already established, but maybe for other people that have one-offs, one nights
yeah.
of doing poetry, one
definitely.
That kind of gives people exposure because the name Steppenwolf means so much.
It does.
And sometimes I can say, you know, people say, and I have felt sort of like it's in this elite club,
mm-hmm.
but maybe they're trying to open their doors now to more experimental or people that maybe don't get seen a lot.
They definitely are. And it's also about who's telling whose stories. I know that's important too. And so I think they're really smart in having that be something that is more authentic. It's coming from the people who are in the streets or, you know, whatever
yeah.
the story may be, that there's it's coming from that generation or just
or
that.
a different Yeah, like maybe
you know what I mean?
People will come who don't normally see theater.
Exactly.
Right? They will come
exactly.
to see this poetry or this storytelling or these plays.
And say, what goes on here?
Right.
What's happening here?
Right.
Have their first experience. That's really
yeah,
what it
right.
is.
And then open
yeah.
the door to, oh, wait, I can see theater too. Theater's
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. yeah.
What do you think we need to do to get young people more engaged with theater?
yes. I that's something that we are continually asking ourselves, how do we make it better? For us, we know they get excited about just the work that we do because they see, once again, they see someone like them doing
it.
And so that is, I mean, that was something that when I first learned, I used to go to the theater all the time, even when we graduated and watching shows and not seeing a person of color on stage. I'm like, well, how can a 10-year-old boy come see this show and think, oh, I can do this?
Right.
It's not until you see somebody who looks like you, walks like you, talks like you, and then you can put yourself in those shoes to say, that's a path I can do. And so that's, I think, is what's missing. And that's by definition, our multicultural ensemble, our multicultural staff, we hope that then that will correlate to our audience and our generational gap will also, that will happen. Like,
I'm
excited
really,
about it.
The thing that I get from you and listening to you is that I seriously have never met a young artist of your age that has so much passion and drive and also has the sort of vision and is getting it done. Because I feel like a lot of, I think that's the thing about millennials, right? People joke that like they are talk, but they don't walk the walk.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys are really walking the walk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree with you in that. We hope that continues. It's our light. It's what we can do. You know, everyone has their own part. But having this company, I remember people were like, don't start a company. And we were like, why? Why not? They were like, well, there's a million already out there. So you better have a good reason for why you're starting a whole new thing. And trust me, it's going to be a lot of work. And so we did. We thought long and hard. And then we looked at every theater in Chicago. And we knew that we still had a place. That was something that needed to be done. Something to be addressed.
Yeah.
It's I mean...
What other theater companies do you think are similar? So if people want to, so check out, it's Definition Theater Company, and your website is?
DefinitionTheater.org.
There you go. What other companies are out there if people want to see theater where they can see a more diverse cast, more sort of, see people that look like them?
You know, it's crazy. I'm saying it's us.
Yeah, there you go.
Honestly, again, that's part of the thing. It's beyond, and I love Chicago, of course. This is my city. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to create change here, where I come from, because that's how I want to leave a legacy. That's what I want to do. But sometimes other theaters it's a play a season.
Or they'll have one actor,
of color in one show, and that's the check mark, and that's done. And so it's beyond that. It's just beyond that. And so I'm excited that Definition exists because of that reason. Because I believe we're gonna be a beacon of light. I'm looking for a building. We want some real things.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be around for longer,
for a really long time.
Yeah, it's bigger than us, and we get that at a young age, which is also, again, thank God. And our motto is stay in it.
Wow.
That's our motto, stay in it. It's going to take a long time. People you love and watching the movies, they weren't just hanging out, farting around and got one audition and have it.
Yeah.
They've been doing theater. They've been doing, you know, their work all the time. And then the right things fell in place. Opportunity fell in place. So stay in it. And one
stay
day, you can
it.
Be a star, too. It don't matter. It don't matter. Stay in it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I am very excited. If you want to go to get tickets to this amazing play, which I always want to pronounce wrong, but it's by Hahalia, right?
You got it right.
Okay. I don't know why that scares me.
Great.
Bahalia.
Bahalia.
Bahalia. Okay. I don't know. The South just scares me in general. So anyway.
That's real.
So we'll be back with Tyrone Phillips.
Good morning. This is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D. here on WGN 720 AM. And I am here with Tyrone Phillips, who is a director and an actor and an artist and an entrepreneur and all things. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking about plays, and we're talking about directing, and I'm going to give, like I said, information on how to get tickets to the show. But what are you acting in? What's going on acting-wise for you?
Yeah, so acting world, I just did a commercial.
I saw it. So here's the story. I am an actor, and I was lucky enough to the people at PR Casting.
Yeah.
I said, can I watch auditions? Because I am back new into this. I haven't been acting in a while, and can I just see? And they said, sure, come. And AJ, AJ Lynx, who we all love. Yep. And said, sure. They were lovely enough just to let me sit and observe. And I saw your audition.
That is so crazy.
And you booked it. And let me tell you something. These auditions are not a joke in that I was there for 6 hours.
Wow.
And they're there for 6 hours every day of the week. But I was there for 6 hours. I must have seen, I would say, 50 men, 60 men, I don't know. And they told me take notes, and I took notes, and I thought you were really good.
It's so crazy. Thank you.
The DiGiorno pizza, it's taking, the other pizza was taking so long. Anyway,
right,
the point saw your
That's
audition.
So crazy.
So you're
so
in
that
commercial.
What I did. Yeah, I did that in January. So that was happening at the same time Bahalia was going up the first time. So it was a very exciting year already. It was off to a great start. And then I will be, after directing at U of I, I will come back and I'll be in the ensemble of King Charles III at Chicago Shakespeare Theater.
Wow.
So that's my
congratulations.
Year. Thank you. Yeah, I'm thrilled. It's my first time working at Chicago Shakespeare, so that'll be great. And I mean, Navy Pier is Navy Pier. That's awesome.
Yes. And it's a beautiful space over there.
And I've always watched their shows, and again, being in high school, we'd go on field trips, and so it's surreal. It's surreal to be going back.
So your dream, like, let's say you could do, I ask people this and then they think I'm just this weird old lady. If in 5 years,
yes,
and it could be sooner, we just don't know. What would you like your life to look like as an artist?
Yeah, our definition theater is my love, is my passion. And it's what's, again, we all know it's bigger than us, and that mission is bigger than us. And truly, if racism, if people start seeing each other as one, if all that really truly happened, we wouldn't exist. So there's a weird kind of bittersweet thing about that being my dream. But I do dream for us to have an institution where we can continue to create plays, where we can have, we did our first ever summer acting intensive, and for high school, a 17-year-old high school student named Destin Teemer, and it was life-changing. And because it was happening again in this time in our world where it was just hard to, I had a whole Facebook breakdown. Like, I know theater makes a difference, but how does it really?
Right.
You know what I mean?
In what exact ways?
Like, show me.
Yeah, let's
you know?
See it.
And so it was a challenge to not only, you know, everyone that are my friends who create theater, but to myself. And so that gave me, restored my faith in what I'm doing. So my dream, I want to see Definition Theater as big as Steppenwolf, as big as Shy Shakes, having a building, an institution, a place where that will continue when I'm dead and gone. And also, I mean, for people, theater, I just think theater is where it can happen, where minds can be changed and where people come together. The fact that people, strangers, complete strangers, get in a room and the lights get dark, you know what I mean? And they all go on this trip together. That's special. That's something that's
incredible. It's kind of a spiritual thing.
It continues to inspire me.
Yeah,
it is. I was asked I had an interview 2 days ago and they asked me, what would I do if I didn't do theater? And it was funny because I said, well, I'll be a pastor. That's what I probably would do because I care about people.
Yeah.
I care about large amounts of people, and how do we, again, leave a positive effect on this world? So that's my thing.
And where do you find inspiration when you're like,
yeah,
when you had that sort of Facebook sort of crisis, yeah, and you were like, how, yeah, are we making a difference? How did you get inspired again? Because you are a very inspired man, yeah, I can tell. Yeah. So
yeah,
where do you find it?
Through my friends who said, yes, we are, and this is how, in the comments, through the people who are supporting our theater, who see what we're doing and say, yes, it is different. Yes, I want to help. Yes, I want to support. And through music. I love music.
We were talking a little bit before we started the interview.
Music is my everything. That's how I get pumped up to do anything, whether it be writing, directing, acting. And again, in our breaks and rehearsal, I play music in between.
Oh.
Like, I have to. I got to. So, yeah. And that's another dream. Yo, Chance the Rapper. That's serious.
We were talking. So, everybody, if you know Chance, you find Tyrone on Facebook and you connect them.
That's right.
It will happen.
No, honestly, he's a true artist to me as well. And he's an individual, and you can hear in his music his influences, and that's what makes him special to me. So that's cool, because I'm hearing church songs that I grew up hearing, you know what I mean? So I connect to that. So that's the whole
thing. So
music really is the key. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of theater?
I do. I see as much as I can. I mean, I'm at Writers Theater.
Busy, yeah.
I see.
Oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit about Writers Theater.
Yeah, I'm the artistic assistant there. So I work with casting and directing and season planning, And I will be assistant directing next season as well. And I was with them when they just built this beautiful new theater center in Glencoe.
If you guys haven't checked it out, I actually have only seen it from pictures, and I want
to
go. It's apparently the most beautiful theater built in a long time.
Nature and art in a way that is not in the city.
And that's
awesome.
The Writers Theater.
Yeah, and Michael Haberstam, who's the artistic director, is a close mentor and advisory board member for Definition.
You guys have quite a board.
They're insane.
I was looking at your website.
They are.
They help you. So this board, you have just sort of run things by, or they keep you...
We try not to bother them too much because they're so great at what they're doing. We want to make sure that we're not in their way. But honestly, they are just champions for our theater. And so when we're doing season announcements or when there's any news or anything different we want to do, we run it by them, and we just hear their opinions about what they want, you know, what they think, and they're our biggest supporters. They're blown away by what we're doing as well.
Wow.
It's crazy that most of them say they're honored to do it, and for us, we're like, what you mean? You know what I mean? What do you mean you're honored? So, we need you.
Tyrone, I have to tell you that you're one of these people where I'm like, whatever I can do to help you, please, however I can help, please let me know. So everybody.
Yeah.
Why don't you can go to Definition. Is it just
DefinitionTheater.org?
DefinitionTheater.org, Steppenwolf.org. The show by Halia.
You got it.
runs through August 21st.
Yes.
But tickets are going to sell out. So get your ticket. It has been such a pleasure to have you on this show.
Thank you.
You can come back anytime. You should have your own radio show. thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Of course, anytime.
That was Tyrone Phillips, and we had a great conversation with him, and now it is time for a little break. And this is Jen B. I'm filling in for Nick D on WGN 720 AM.